Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And happy hump day, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. It's a perfect weather day for Zach Williams. He just loves the rain, so blame it on Zach.
But it is nice out there
in Nashville. You know, you should move to Seattle. You'd absolutely love the Seattle weather, Zach. I'll just say it.
I've thought about that before, honestly. That's a legit,
This is what you get. You know, it's interesting when we think about this weather, and I was thinking about you because you were bragging about how much you totally embrace this, and it would be at times where the skies are totally clear and it's still raining in Seattle. It's like during the wintertime, it's like these particles are like coming down and it's like there's no clouds. So after a while it's like, okay, enough. But hey, it's this time of year, it kind of feels appropriate with this kind of weather, with a little bit of a cold in the air as well. So
you feel the season, you know what I mean? You can really feel the season. I like that.
Yeah, for me, especially as, you know, it seems dark the entire day, too, to the point where I have this lit-up pumpkin in my window, and I've had it. I keep waiting for the year that it will no longer work, but, you know, you can turn it on. You can literally turn it on in the morning because, you know, you can see it from the streets because it's so dark looking outside and dreary. I mean, it's also to the point, do you have, in front of my house, I have those things that are powered by solar, as far as it lights up, as far as the walkway. They haven't worked for like 3 days now because there's been no sun to give them any type of power.
How long have you had that pumpkin in the window?
I think I put it up maybe 3 weeks ago.
But like how long have you like had it though?
Oh my gosh. I got it from my late mother who passed away in the late 90s, so this is probably going on 30 plus years.
Wow. You've never changed the bulb or anything?
You can't. So now it is broken, what I mean, and so it's been like bent over, so when it's not like stuck to the window, it has its issues. But no, it's still going strong 30 years later.
Well, me and the wife and her nephew, he came over, and so we did, you know, we went to the pumpkin patch and we carved pumpkins and all those things. And I don't know if it's just where it got warm for a little bit and then it got bad and now it's back to being cold, but it is absolutely disgusting inside these pumpkins. And I mean, when I say disgusting, like it's molding, which is fine, but the amount of bugs that are in there, I don't know where. I opened it up, and then this is not me being facetious at all. I opened it up, and I swear 5 bugs flew into my mouth. Like, it happened. There was that many flying little black insects. I don't know what they are.
You know, there's a horror movie there. You know, we can start writing a script because I can just see it right now. That's like the beginning of a horror movie, and these bugs become, I can see that.
It was terrifying. It's so much now that I almost want to go ahead and throw these pumpkins out because they have. And then slugs, like the giant, like leopard-looking slugs, like these crazy slugs are inside of it as well. If anybody has any tips on how to keep your pumpkin from becoming that, just let me know because this was terrible.
I know, throw it away.
Yeah, that is one. That is one.
I can't. Can you not? If I remember correctly, can you not coat it with something to keep it long-lasting? Well, not long-lasting, but at least long enough to make it through Halloween.
It's not like getting deformed or anything. It's just like the amount of bugs that are inside of it, eating it and stuff like that. It's terrible. It's terrifying in there.
And by the way, this is one of those things that very few things in life are people or actions that I'm jealous of. I'm jealous of those that do an incredible job of being able to carve pumpkins. My wife got me into this show where it's called Halloween Wars, and it's a cooking show, and they use, you know, candies and pumpkins and stuff, and just watching some of these individuals and just how talented they are being able to carve up pumpkins. I've never had that, you know, talent or ability. I never will, and that's just one of those that I'm always envious of. For those that do such an incredible job being able to carve pumpkins.
I carve your classic jack-o'-lantern. That's what I want. I don't want, you know, like these, you know, faces.
You do the triangle and eyes and a little
exactly.
bit of a... That's it.
That's what I like. I like a classic jack-o'-lantern.
See, there's those that can get down to the 3-degree effect and everything.
Oh, no, I can't do that.
I mean, I'm like... Or make them look like famous people. I mean, that's the part where it's like, okay, stop.
Yeah, that's too much time.
Now you're just showing off.
Yeah, and it's going to decay, and you're going to throw it away. So,
all right, so let's see. Which side of the fence you think I'm on with the Los Angeles Dodgers from last night?
So I'm guessing you're happy about it, even though you picked the Rays.
I'm happy that they got it. Very disappointed in just hearing the excuses with Justin Turner. It's like, he had to be out there. Stop with that nonsense. That's the part where, you know, I understand, first of all, why are you finding out, you know, as the game is going on that you've tested positive for COVID-19. But knowing that he has tested positive for COVID-19 on the field, taking the mask off, right there next to Dave Roberts, posing for the team pitcher, I mean, that's just stupidity. Absolutely, that's just... It's just stupidity.
The only reason why I disagree with you is that it's more or less on the MLB. Why are they not getting those tests back before the game starts? And not only even that, this wasn't like the first inning, right? This was like the sixth inning they ended up taking
like
them out.
Last week when I got my test on Sunday, I guess it was Sunday the 18th, when I got my test results back, I was able to get one of the rapid tests. And so I knew within, 20 plus minutes or so. I don't understand. I'm like you. They had the issues the day before. I get that. But it took them that long to get the results the next day. That doesn't make any sense either. I totally agree with
and
you.
And so, look, there's no easy way to say it, right? Like, he really shouldn't have came back out. He really shouldn't have. But he had already been in that dugout and, you know, pre-games, all this other stuff with those guys. So if anything, the him being exposed, it's already happened, right? It already had happened.
Yeah, but he had been wearing masks, though, and the players, you know, still kept their mask on as far as when they were in close proximity to each other. But here in the team photo, he clearly takes the mask down and he's right next to the manager.
Yeah, I think everybody ended up taking their mask down on that photo. But it's just, I don't know. I don't fault the guy for going out and doing it. He shouldn't have done it. The MLB should have done a better job of getting the test back.
Well, they tried to. They actually tried to get him off the field. They sent security to get him off the field, and he wouldn't respond to the security.
See, I wonder how much that really was, though. You know, how hard did the security really try? Like, what?
Or were they afraid? Or, you know, how much of a scene did you want to make?
Well, you know, you're talking about a guy who just won the World Series. The energy there, you know, that's come poo-poo on the party. That's like the Odell Beckham story with the LSU Tigers winning their national championship, right? And then you got the guy going around and telling people to stop smoking cigars and all this kind of stuff.
Well, he was handing out money, too. So.
Well, yeah, that too. But, I mean, you got these security.
Two players that still had eligibility.
Well, I'm talking about to the security officer, though, who was telling people to go out and stop wearing stop smoking cigars after now. It's like, how are you going to be that guy in that crowd? I don't know.
Well, it is illegal. You know, here's the thing. If you want to get technical about it, it is illegal to smoke inside. So I can see why
you don't want to be that guy, though. And so
yeah,
I can imagine those security guys thinking that.
You also don't want to be the drunk former player for a university.
Oh, well, LSU, yeah, yeah, or for Odell, yeah, yeah. But yeah, I'm talking about the security guards who would have had to go tell him to get off the field. You know, like, then you're like, well, that's you don't really want to be that guy. There's a special kind of person who's that guy or that girl.
But you don't want to, you know, you don't want to also slap the police officer on the rear either.
While he's
doing his duty and you're drunk when you're doing it. Yeah, that's not a good look.
But for Justin Turner, I don't know. That one is just, it's up in the air to me just because of the whole situation. It should have been before the game. And not in the middle of the game. I don't know. That seems like a lot of CYA that the MLB was like, yeah, just get him out of the game right now. And you know, really, they should be the one to blame for this whole situation.
Well, in 3 days, we'll see what kind of effect that will have. Because in about 3 days, we're going to find out if other players are now impacted by that result.
Well, you wonder, too, where did he get it?
Yeah, good point.
Because, I mean, they've been in a bubble, technically.
But there's been some interaction. You know, there've been some fans in the stands, and so you wonder just how much of a bubble.
Yeah, I don't know.
The door. It's not like the door was totally closed, and you're in a bubble. I mean, it's not like
right.
The NBA,
it's not the NBA, but still. No, They did try to do something where they, you know, tried to garner against doing this, but it for me, once again, it's just it. I don't know. I don't think that's that bad of a situation. It just doesn't look good for the MLB. It's really the one who I think takes the brunt of this problem. And if you're the Dodgers, like, nobody wants to get the disease, correct? That's nobody wants it.
Then again, though, you still got the crazies out there saying that masks don't help. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know, with his beard, his mask probably doesn't help.
You know, take it from someone who looked at death last week. Here's the thing: you do not want this. Period. If masks help, if anything possible out there it helps, then you need to be doing it because you do not want this. Period.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I just I think the context, if you were just to say, like, he just walked onto the field and all that, if you leave that, but the context of him being in the dugout, in the team, with the team, doing all these things, and then they pull him out mid-game, and it's like, just let him go out there and celebrate. I don't know. That's my side of it.
I go back, you know, and to me, you know, we all have, you know, since this became a part of our daily lives as far as with COVID-19 back in March, you know, I think all of us in the back of our minds, especially like with me, I lost my oldest brother to COVID-19 in March. So it was always weighing on in the back of my mind, if I get it, am I going to be like, you know, some who have no symptoms or some who have mild symptoms? You just don't know. Because I'm relatively very healthy. You know, I take good care of myself. I eat well. And, you know, and if I had had to place a wager, you know, in Vegas, okay, if I get it, what direction am I going physically? I would not have thought that I would have been the person to have these severe symptoms. And, you know, that's the part that's so strange about this pandemic is the fact that you just don't know. And there's still so many unknowns months later.
Yeah. And
that's why you can't take, that's why I go back, you know, I know he and his teammates, they win the World Series, I get that, but the unknown part of it is the problem, and that's why. I mean, what is this conversation going to be like later this week if all of a sudden we find out Dave Roberts gets it and all of a sudden he passes away? Now, are you going to be like justifying Justin Turner's actions last night by, oh, you got to allow him to be able to celebrate with his teammates? Are you going to be saying that if we lose the manager of the Dodgers to this?
Well, no, you wouldn't do that, but it would obviously be a tragic, terrible, worst-case scenario kind of thing. But, I mean, you would still say you couldn't take to that one incident being what caused it, right? Because he was already on the field with them, whether or not mask or not. We don't know if his mask and all their masks were on, even when they go in the clubhouse, even though they have the rule. There's a lot of what ifs up there about this. So that's where, once again, all this blame, I think, goes from Turner and goes to the MLB for not handling their business beforehand.
I don't understand why it took as long as it did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the real problem.
That's a head scratcher. But hey, it's over. No more Major League Baseball now. We march on to the winter and then regroup as far as
they get to redo it. You know, they get to have their normalcy too of their season. It's not like NBA and hockey where they're trying to figure it out. They're MLB. They got through all of it and a whole lot more games and a whole lot of stuff they got through. And eventually, fans came back. They did a great job. Honestly, yeah, the MLB did a great job.
They got through it, but then you weigh in if we're still talking about COVID-19 and lingering effects as far as in spring and it's time to start the 21 season, at what point do you have your guard down because you did get through it? And because, I mean, at this point, do you feel like everything's going to be smooth sailing for the start of 21 for Major League Baseball? I don't, based on where we are right now with these escalating numbers, where we are as far as getting a vaccine. I'm not convinced that we're still going to have some issues to begin the 21 season.
But now they have a sample size for being in it. You know, before all this started, it was a bunch of questions of, can they do it? Will it last? Now they've actually done it. So I think it's only going to get easier to maneuver around for all of these leagues, not just MLB. But I think it'll be easier for them just because they can look back and say, okay, this worked, this didn't work. We need to, you know, focus more on plan A instead of plan B. At least now they can look at something with their hands and say, this is how we should do it. You know, they got the trial run over, in my opinion.
One of the things, and by the way, we get news today, and it kind of makes me go back to the last college basketball season. You know, Florida State, a season where they're the regular season champs in the ACC in men's basketball, a team that looked like they could have made a run for a national championship, you know, we'll never know. And I bring it up because, you know, we've got a BYU team right now ranked 11th in the country. You know, it looks like line play-wise, they're good enough to actually play for a national championship, but we'll never know. We get a Wisconsin team that looked great against Illinois. I mean, I understand it's Illinois, but a Wisconsin team that certainly could be the best team in the Big Ten. And now we find out that the Wisconsin-Nebraska game gets canceled this weekend and will not be made up. And you now look at this Wisconsin team, certainly hampered by COVID-19. Paul Chryst, the head coach, impacted as well. You look back at outstanding quarterback play. He's out now for at least 21 days. And, you know, it makes you wonder, in so many ways, I think we'll look at this college football season because, you know, there's no guarantee. I mean, look at Alabama right now, riding high, looking like they're certainly a team capable of, you know, winning a national championship, Trevor Lawrence and Clemson. What happens if either one of these programs get hit hard and all of a sudden it totally changes the complexity of what we're looking at as far as the 4-team playoff this year?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, it's good that they at least have now tried to, and I say they, I mean Wisconsin at least, now they're closing everything down, trying to fix it up. And I imagine what we're going to see, too, is college football kind of following suit with what the NFL's doing. Even though it seems like the NFL's trying to grab a bunch of cats and put them into a basket, at least they are doing something, like with the Texans, who got lucky with their bye week. So we'll see if it continues to mirror out, but it, you know, you have to expect these kind of things too, because you saw the SEC, they've gone through this and they're currently going through it, and you kind of hope, coming off the tail end of it, these, like the Big Ten, they're now starting, so they have to deal with the same problems that the SEC had first, right? They're going to follow that same path probably.
Well, and you know, the room for error now has certainly closed. If you're the SEC, there's not much more wiggle room remaining just because of all the changes that have already have been made. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, I mean, look, Florida had to shut down for 2 weeks, and so they're slated to play this weekend for the first time in 3 weeks. Missouri's been hit hard. We look at a Virginia Tech team that's been dealing with bad numbers throughout the football season, to the point where they actually drop out of the top 25 this week. And so, you know, we look at them going underachieving this year. Well, in so many ways, you can make the argument that they've been very fortunate just to be able to piece together enough players out there to actually win enough games before they fell out of the top 25 this week.
Yep. I mean, it's a definite problem.
Before we go to break, 615-844-5600, Husker Richie in Nashville. Good afternoon, sir.
Johnny, our game is canceled, and it's not going to be rescheduled. What is their policy on rescheduling games? If a game isn't going to be played, it's just never going to be made up. What are they doing on that? We're only playing 8 games to begin
with. Well, and that's the problem. They left no room for error. And so, you know, and we look at, we've talked about the SEC with, you know, had the 1 week as far as December 12th, but now with all the moving around, you know, very little wiggle room remaining as far as the SEC. And with the Big Ten, there was really no wiggle room. And I go back to, and I still don't understand why, you know, all of these leagues didn't allow themselves a little bit more than an extra week. And we've talked about that with the NFL, an NFL that I thought should have added an extra week or two just because of what we've seen and like what happened with the Titans, what happened with some of the other programs too. But yeah, the Big Ten left themselves no wiggle room, and the game, it doesn't count as a win or loss for either Nebraska or Wisconsin. It just won't be made up.
Yeah, that's incredible. Obviously, they should have started a week or two earlier or had the championship game a week later. It's just hard for me to believe that, let's say something comes up with the Penn State-Ohio State game this weekend, they have no way to make that game up in. So it potentially could get canceled, probably not this late in the week, but so that would be incredible to have a division game like that wouldn't get played. So I didn't realize that they had no room to make up any games. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and I go back to, this is where when the Big Ten started making their decisions and not in conversations with the other Power Five conferences, where they kind of went out on their own. I think that is where it's getting the best of them. And it's one of these things where from the beginning, everybody should work together and allowed the wiggle room. And instead, the Big Ten wanted to act like they're going to be leaders and everybody else can follow them, and made mistakes in so many different ways along the way.
Well, they waited. The bottom line, they just waited too late to get going. They should have started the season about 2 weeks ago.
I mean, look, Pac-12, still, we're still waiting for Pac-12. They don't get started until next, you know, till early November. So the Pac-12's still not underway yet.
Well, obviously the Pac-12 will not be involved in the playoff. They're just playing to play, and their season's held crown a champion, but it won't be involved in the playoff. The playoff will be going on before they finish the season, right?
Well, here's the thing. The Pac-12 will kick off next week, November 7th. And so that's right. When they will kick off. And so that's the time frame. But, you know, at this point, they will be done with their little short, you know, their little short season. And, yeah, I mean, if you think that USC or Oregon's good enough, if I'm not mistaken, they can still – because right now – the conference championship game is not until December 18th, so they would be eligible.
Okay, well, they would be then. I don't see that happening, but you never know.
Yeah, I mean, who's to say? I mean, it's hard to say in the sense that because we don't have any matchups as far as non-conference matchups with other, Power 5 conferences, remember, a Pac-12 team hasn't been a part of the 4-team playoff anyway since 2014, the very first one. But they are
Washington.
So they are vet, you know, they are available. They are, it is possible for them to be a part of it. But the question will be, I'm sorry, I've left off Washington. So Washington and then Oregon as well. But if the committee decides that either USC or Oregon look good enough, and other teams for whatever reason are bowing out, then they would be eligible to be one of the 4 teams.
Well, you know, it's a little bit of this is a mess, but not the mess that I thought it might be. But, hey, we're just getting going, so, you know, who knows? This is the second week of the Big Ten. They've already had a game canceled. So, you know, but I think the bottom line, if Ohio State just wins all their games, I think that will settle it. Now, they need to play the championship game, but, you know, they're looking to get Ohio State in that playoff is what they want, and I still think that will happen. I don't think anything will stop that from happening.
And not unless it's Penn State coming up on Saturday. But I'm like
right.
You. I kind of believe that Ohio State is one of the 4 best teams. But, you know, this will play out, obviously, on the football field.
Well, I hate to ruin all the drama, but I'm really looking forward to the Alabama-Clemson National Championship game, Johnny. I really am. So the drama is over. Those two will meet again, barring major quarterback injuries. Or I guess the virus could derail it, but those two teams look head and shoulders above everybody else. Don't you agree?
Yeah, so far that's the case. But once again, it's still early with Ohio State. I'm really interested in seeing exactly how they perform against Penn State. And look, Michigan looked pretty good against Minnesota, too. I mean, I know it's Michigan, and they'll find a way to lose again to Ohio State. You know, they've lost 14 out of 15 games to Ohio State. But, you know, Michigan looked good week one against Minnesota.
They did. Thanks, Johnny.
Hey, appreciate it. All right, 615-844-5600. If you'd like to be a part of the show, coming up a little bit later, Robbie Weinstein. He covers Vanderbilt for Vandy247.com. Our good friend Alyssa Lang joins us just after 5, studio host reporter with the SEC Network, ESPN, and ESPN Radio, and a Hall of Famer, 3-time Sports Writer of the Year, Teresa Walker, with the Associated Press here in Nashville, joins us around 5:35. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It is still dragging along in Brentwood as cleanup continues on that early morning crash. 65 southbound just past OHB. Northbound is running slow up through this part of Williamson County because of rubbernecking on 65 north between Concord Road and OHB. There's several wrecks out here. Bell Road at I-24. Bell Road at Cane Ridge just happened as well. Hey, celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, check it out. Obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
One of the real joys of growing up in Nashville has been the visit to the flea market. And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that. But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website virtualnashvilleflea.com to get more details. And for more information, visit the website thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market. Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Exclusive Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR Skyscan Forecast. There's a flood watch in effect until 7 a.m. Thursday. For the rest of the afternoon, cloudy with showers, highs at around 67 with a north wind. Tonight going down to 60 with showers continuing with a northeast wind gusting to 14 miles an hour. For Thursday, showers continue with highs at around 72. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Rich Brennan. Sports Radio,
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Hey, hey. Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams, 615-844-5600. I saw this earlier today, and I don't know if you came across this article or not. As far as NBA revenue for the 2019-20 season, how much money do you feel like they brought in, and how much you felt like they lost to COVID-19?
They lost 10%.
You did see it.
I did see it.
And I saw the numbers, and it's like, no wonder they weren't really struggling. You know, they still brought in $8.3 billion.
Is that a lot of money?
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
So they lose 10% of that. So roughly $800 million. Now, that's a lot, except the fact that they still had $8.3 billion.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of $800
million. Well, now here's the problem, and that's what the big concern is, that if they begin the season and you're talking about no fans in the stands, and they're projecting a potential loss of 40%, which is, you know, roughly $3 billion with regards to next year. And so, but as far as this year, under the circumstances, you know, I think that that's, I don't have a lot of sympathy for the NBA with how much money they still brought in for the 2019-20 season.
Don't feel bad for the NBA. I know it looks so bad, them staying in a fun hotel for 3 months and eating okay food. It's so hard for them with all their millions.
Oh, that's right. You know, God, I forgot who was it. Who was complaining about the room service? And
it was all really of them. Rondo was the biggest one, I think. He was talking about how the rooms were just terrible from the 80s and all these different things. And good Lord.
It's like, get over yourself.
I'll trade any day of the week if you want, man. We can trade professions right now.
Hey, by the way, I really enjoyed the conversation with Paul Kennedy, with George Plaster and Watson Brown last hour. And, you know, I remember when Paul Kennedy was named the voice of Alabama. Ray Perkins was named to succeed Bear Bryant as head coach in 82, and you know, I the stories about Bobby Knight as well. Did I ever tell you the Bobby Knight story where, you know, it was a stretch there where, you know, he was during NCAA tournaments, he would be going off on media reps, media liaisons, or whatever, and embarrass them. And you can even now to Google these and see highlights of where he's just going ballistic. Well, I had volunteered to work the first, second round of an NCAA tournament up in Louisville. And it was me and this other person. And for every game, you know, we would, one person would take one team, I would take the other. Well, I volunteered. I was just a glutton for punishment, I guess. But I volunteered to be the media liaison for Coach Knight in Indiana. And, you know, they won both their games. And it was just one of those things where I just wanted that challenge, you know. And luckily, Indiana won both of their games, so I didn't have any major issues to deal with where I'm dealing with an irate, you know, Coach Knight. But I just wanted that challenge, knowing he had had so many issues in the past, especially with media reps during NCAA tournament time.
And then plus also he's Bobby Knight. So, I mean, that's the other side of it.
You know, it's one of these, you know, look, you're whether you like him or not, you know, you think about, and look, he did a lot of wonderful things for his former players. But certainly, you know, you can't justify some of the actions and one of the reasons why he ended up, you know, getting fired from Indiana. But at the same time, you know, we're talking about history. I actually got, and this was the old, when they took up the floor, they did it as a fundraiser and they replaced the basketball floor where they won all those Big Ten championships and it was all those great Indiana teams, national title teams. But I have a piece of the actual floor on this nice part of, once again, my sports collection that you, at this point, don't believe in collecting. But but I have a piece, and I'm not an Indiana fan, but I still appreciate greatness in what those teams represented. So I actually have a piece of the Assembly Hall floor from those Indiana great teams.
Have you ever heard of the Bobby Knight Rangers?
No, what is that?
That's a cover band for the Night Rangers, and then the Bobby Knight Rangers. So they dress up like Bobby Knight and then play Night Ranger songs.
Oh, that would be weird.
And play, like, you know, Sister Christine and all that.
Yeah, I have, by the way, and I don't even know the name of the drummer for Night Ranger, but I actually have a drumstick from Night Ranger.
There you go. But they dress up, and then at the end of their set, you know, they do Sister Christine, they do the big ending and all that, and then they all throw chairs out onto the
I've never, ever heard of the...
I'll send you a video link. You'll like it.
And that's the other thing. Do you collect guitar picks?
No, I don't collect anything.
See, I've gone to a lot
checks,
of concerts.
That's about it.
I've gone to a lot of concerts over the years, so I have a huge collection of guitar picks from my favorite bands, whether it's Kiss or Poison or REO Speedwagon, you name it.
You're a real pack rat, aren't you? There's a lot of stuff that doesn't really get thrown out of the old Frank's household, huh?
You could have that conversation.
Do you have Vicky on here soon?
Yeah, Vicky. No, don't even. If she's listening, she'll go, yes. I so agree with you, Zach.
That's hilarious.
But, you know, here's the thing, though. I stopped that real quick when I showed her. I showed her three or four things of my collection, and she goes, oh, never mind. When I showed her how much some of this stuff is worth. But yes, I the collection is huge. It's very diverse, very different. And are there some things that probably should not be a part of the collection?
You have a broken pumpkin in your window from about the 90s. So.
Hey, but it looks good, though. You know, the fact that it still looks good and it works, I mean, come on. No one else knows it's broken except for me.
Well, everybody, you just told on air.
Well, I know, but if you're looking at it from the street, it doesn't look broken. And it's still lit up nice and orange. I mean, just in time for Halloween.
How long do you hold on to receipts?
See, I'm actually very good about the receipts part, you know, because I do balance the checkbook and all that, and I do keep the necessary receipts, but I usually have it where it's backed up where I don't have to keep the paper receipts. So, but, you know, it gives me a chance, especially when, you know, if you got an hour or two, if every once in a while you just want to pick up some things and start leafing through them. It brings back a lot of fun memories for me and that I've had the opportunity to enjoy. So, it, it, it is what it is, and that's what I enjoy.
I just have the memories in my head. That's what I always think. And then I like pictures. I like taking photos. So, like, whenever we're in events or anything, or if it's a first-time thing, whatever it is, I take a lot of photos. So I have tons. I've kept every photo through high school and college with me and my friends, past girlfriends, my current wife, you know, who back then was a girlfriend. I mean, I've got all those photos that it's just, that's what I enjoy going through. But I don't really care for things.
I did have a, you know, I did do something smart when I worked for the Nashville Sounds. I had one person, he never charged me for any photos, but I got him so he had a press pass. And so he was always available for me or for Mr. Schmitto or anybody that, if we ever needed a photo taken with somebody like a special celebrity or whatever. And so because of that is why I look back and have photos like with Bob Gibson or Ferguson Jenkins or Bob Feller. And I will always be grateful that I have those particular memories. 615-844-5600, Mike in Melrose. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Johnny. Glad to hear you're back and doing better.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the kind prayers, too.
Maybe one of these days I can get an invite to come over and check out that man cave. So sounds like you got some pretty cool stuff.
I do, and I'm very fortunate. I mean, here's the thing too. You know, when the final days, I'm expecting one day to have everything sold and raise money for scholarships. So there is an empath down the road, hopefully later than sooner, with regards to what's going to be done with the collection.
Well, that's a good deal. Over all the years I've collected, I just kept stuff, but nothing really worth anything. I got like a bunch of old RC cans with players on them, and I got, you know, pictures and helmets, but nothing. I had an autographed ball from George Steinbrenner, but I could not find that thing.
Well, the one that I really like a lot is the Pete Rose, and mainly because of the story, knowing he yelled at me the day before because we didn't have cable and he couldn't watch a particular horse race on a Saturday, and I never could understand it. I mean, it wasn't like the Kentucky Derby or something, and it was like, why is he getting so mad at me for us not having cable for him to watch this obscure horse race? And then you find out 2 years later that there was probably a little wager.
We had TVs back then.
I know. It was a little bit different.
Hey, I got one thing for you. You've talked about this several times. I kind of disagree with you. When you talked about the Auburn-Arkansas game a few weeks ago and the play at the end of the game, there was, if you go back and watch it, there was some evidence Arkansas got on it. But I think, I'm pretty sure about this, that two referees blew it dead. And when that happens, you know, they just have to stick with their call, because who's to say an Auburn guy wouldn't have jumped on it? So I'm pretty sure I saw two refs blow that dead.
Well, they did blow it dead, and then you also had the report coming 2 days later, which is really funny when they do these, like, for example, the one this week with the Ole Miss situation came out late Monday night. Like, why is it taking 48 hours, right? And even that had to do with finding Lane Kiffin. But they even alluded to the fact that they, for whatever reason, they didn't see the video to show them, you know, having an Arkansas player actually pick up the ball. And that was also part of the process.
Well, I just did see that replay, Auburn guy, and they showed SEC Network, and you could tell it tipped his finger, and then he goes running after it, and he's like, I don't want it.
Yeah, good point.
But I think the one in Arkansas, it just happened so quick. Of course, it used to be, and I referee youth football, you had to be up under center to take the snap and to spike it. Now I think they changed it this year. You can be in shotgun. I did not realize that if you fumble it, you cannot spike it, which he did and got the penalty. But I think it just happened so quick, and the referees didn't even think, oh, that's a backwards pass. But that should be something that's reviewable, and I think they're told not to have a quick whistle.
Yeah, Auburn very fortunate not to be 0-5 right now instead of 3-2.
All right, y'all have a good day.
Hey, we appreciate it. All right, coming up, a chance to talk a little Vanderbilt. Back on the football field coming up this Saturday, Robbie Weinstein. He covers Vanderbilt for Vandy247.com. He's on the way. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. I wish I could give you some better news, but it's still dragging along here as we look at it live in Brentwood. 65 southbound. It's been this way all day long from that crash just past OHB. Now, northbound, why is that slow? Rubberneckers, that's why. On 65 north between Concord Road and OHB, as you travel up through this portion of Williamson County, M. Hill Pike at Bell Road, that's just been a wreck there, and Donaldson with injuries. Hey, celebrate autumn at Obergatlinburg during Oktoberfest. Now through November 1st, check it out, obergatlinburg.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
It is an uncertain time for us all, but kids in foster care have always known an uncertain future. Now, more than ever, we see what it means to truly connect with others in a way we didn't fully appreciate through the simple little things we do. It's those little things that also make a big difference to a kid in foster care, to help them become all they were meant to be. During a time when taking care of each other is by far most important, Youth Villages Foster Care asks that you consider opening your home to these young people who are without one. To keep us all safe and healthy during this time, Youth Villages is offering virtual presentations with information to address your thoughts and questions about fostering a child. Learn how you can become a foster parent at youthvillages.org/foster. Youth Villages, foster a little hope. Brought to you by Youth Villages in cooperation with this station and the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
The George Plaster Show.
It's great you finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It's sports talk the way it should be.
The George Plaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Plaster Show.
This isn't going to be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, Alyssa Lang, studio host and reporter with the SEC Network, ESPN, and ESPN Radio. But right now, a chance to talk some Vanderbilt. Robbie Weinstein, he covers Vanderbilt for Vandy247.com. And it seems like ages ago, the last time we talked about Vanderbilt on the football field, Robbie. And finally, last time they played, October 10th, 41-7 loss at home to South Carolina. And now Ole Miss coming to town. This will be certainly a tough challenge for that Vanderbilt defense, knowing what Ole Miss brings to the table with their offense.
Yeah, it feels really strange now that, you know, when Saturday comes, it'll have been 3 weeks since Vanderbilt last took the field. That just doesn't really happen in college football outside of, you know, the transition from the end of the regular season to bowl season. And so, yeah, that's an interesting offense to have to all of a sudden come off a pretty prolonged break and all of a sudden have to defend, because Ole Miss has lots of speed. They've got good quarterback play, and it's really an explosive all-around offense.
You know, I was talking to some folks a couple of weeks back as far as with Vanderbilt, how when, you know, COVID-19 and how it has impacted this team and coming out of nowhere. And, you know, right now, mindset-wise, you know, what is the mental makeup of this team heading into this game on Saturday? I mean, certainly this season, not going in the direction that the Commodores would want. They're 0-3. Their game against Missouri gets rescheduled, you know, later in the year on December 12th. You know, at this point, you know, probably the only folks that are believing in Vanderbilt is those players as far as in that locker room.
Yeah, I think so. I think we talked about last time that the South Carolina game was potentially maybe their most winnable game remaining on their schedule. And so I think we all understand that there were a lot of mitigating factors with that loss, and that they were down to 56 scholarship players. There were true freshmen playing in the secondary who hadn't really seen much of any time so far this season. But at the end of the day, you look up at the scoreboard and it's 41-7 loss at home to a South Carolina team that at least did beat Auburn, but, you know, clearly is not among the better teams in the SEC. Decent matchup for them too, because you know, Vanderbilt's offense hasn't shown the ability to, you know, string explosive plays together and basically score points. And South Carolina was the type of team where maybe they could hold that offense down potentially. Whereas Ole Miss, I really think Ole Miss is going to move the ball, and so unless you turn them over a whole lot, I think it's going to be difficult from a matchup standpoint here, because I don't know if Vanderbilt will be able to put enough points on the board to really hang in this game.
You know, how strange is it that although we're talking about an 0-3 Vanderbilt team, that we go back to week one and a Vanderbilt team with the ball in their hands, a touchdown drive away from beating a team that's currently ranked number 8th in the latest AP poll, and I'm talking about Texas A&M.
Yeah, very strange. I mean, Texas A&M is the best team that Vanderbilt has played this season. I think, I don't know if I would say comfortably, LSU seems to be coming around, but pretty clearly Texas A&M has had the best season of those three teams that Vanderbilt has played. I think you can see from that game when Vanderbilt does have, you know, as close to a full roster as it's going to have this year. I do think, like, I still think that the 0-10 talk, I totally get why people think that that will happen. I think it may be the most likely outcome, but at the same time, when there's still 7 games left in the season, if they can play like they did against Texas A&M, you know, against the team like Missouri, Ole Miss, Tennessee, maybe Kentucky, you know, I could see them like coming out with one of those games, you know, in a major upset. But it is very strange that they legitimately played pretty well in that game, and it just fell off a cliff immediately after that.
Robbie, I mean, here we are. We're looking at a Vanderbilt team that's staring down the possibility of an 0-10 season. You know, how important is it to get at least one W? Whether we're talking about Ole Miss this week, at Mississippi State next week, one of these games, get at least one W to get the monkey off their backs.
I think it's significant, especially like from a confidence standpoint within the team, I would say, and a morale standpoint. I think, though, I don't know what a 1-9 season compared to an 0-10 season really does long-term for the program. I think either way, that doesn't look good when you're trying to sell the program to recruits and when you're trying to get donors on board, potentially. So, you know, I think if they win one game, obviously you save yourself the embarrassment and, you know, sort of the shame of having a winless season. But at the same time, I think you need to get to at least 2 or 3 before you can really sell the recruits successfully. Like, hey, we are, you know, we've got a true freshman quarterback. We have a young team. We're on the rise. Because right now, you know, I think in the fall, especially after the LSU game and after the South Carolina game, I think you started to see some results in recruiting where some guys who were expected to commit either, you know, kind of held off from pulling the trigger or ended up committing to other places or will do so soon. So I think it's kind of an uphill climb in recruiting right now as long as they're having these kinds of results. And just winning one game in the SEC, I'm not sure is going to completely change that much, you know, if at all.
How safe is it for Derek Mason? Does it matter as far as wins, losses? Does it matter more about how the team looks as far as being competitive? With regards to Derek Mason in 2021 with this Vanderbilt team, at this point, do we know?
It's a great question, Johnny. I don't think we do know at this point because they still do theoretically have 7 games left. You and I also don't know what the financial situation looks like in terms of the school's ability or willingness to pay a buyout, because we don't actually know yet if they're going to have fans in the stands. You know, right now they're not going to against Ole Miss, could they after that? I guess it's a possibility, but how much revenue will they actually be able to make up from that? I'm not really sure. And then beyond that, you know, I think Candace Lee, she talked last week about, I think it was last week, about how COVID doesn't necessarily change the evaluation process, and that they're still, you know, they still want to see success on the field. And it was kind of striking, I think, her comments to media. You know, she didn't really stick up for Derek Mason, I didn't think. You know, not that she necessarily should have, but I did think the comments were a little bit telling in you know, in terms of what she did not say. So, you know, it's a little iffy, I think. At the end of the day, if you do go 0-10 or 1-9, I think this is the SEC, and the programs expect to have success. And when you don't for two consecutive years after they went 3-9 last year, you put yourself in a situation where, you know, the school could make a change.
Before we let you go, remind the listeners again what they can expect when they go to Vandy247.com.
Yeah, sure. I have pretty extensive coverage throughout game week, and also there are a couple significant recruiting stories up there right now for VIP subscribers, including one kind of interesting one about Brandon Miller from Cane Ridge, who's a local five-star basketball prospect in the 2022 class. So not only, actual coverage of what's going on the field, but, of course, lots of content in terms of recruiting as well.
Hey, we appreciate you, Robbie. Have a great rest of the week. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Johnny.
Thank you, buddy. Robbie Weinstein joining us again with Vandy247.com. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Cleanup continues on this crash here in Brentwood. What a mess. We're looking at it live right now. 65 southbound, just past OHB here in this part of Williamson County, running slow northbound. Why is that slow? That's Rubberneckers doing that in the northbound lanes on 65 there between Concord Road and OHB. Franklin Pike at Harding Place, there's just been a crash at that intersection. Hey, to cater your next holiday party coming up, hey, call Princess Hot Chicken or simply go online to princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
The final lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
All right, now we are still awaiting the Cup Series race from Texas Motor Speedway. That was supposed to happen on Sunday, but then the rain came, and then on Monday the rain came again, and basically the same thing happened on Tuesday. Who knows when this thing is going to happen? So let's review the Truck Series race from Texas Motor Speedway over the weekend. Sheldon Creed headed to victory lane with his fourth win of the season.
Just started off pretty simple there. Had a really fast truck and just tried to learn what the track was doing. It was on the bottom there, that first stage. And then there at the end, I think a couple of people started making time in the spray and more on what my truck was doing, and then tightened up a little bit. Stage two was a little harder. I think everyone was figuring out the runs that they needed, and the 16 did a really good job. The 88, those were two that I felt timed the runs the best and could stay really close. I don't know what happened there that last 10 laps. I got really tight, like light switch. I went from being really good to really tight and like the left front quartered a little bit. And I felt like I was in trouble there. I didn't really know. And then that last restart, thank God I had a teammate with me and was able to get clear there. And then I figured I could cover the 16 at least for a couple of laps and was able to get the win. So it's so nice being stress-free for the next week or two.
Final lap. KFC's Colonel Sanders here. We all love sitting down to a home-cooked meal with family, but there's rarely enough hours in the day to do the cooking. So let me do the cooking for you. Well, not me personally, that's just a turn of phrase. Your KFC will do the actual cooking. The point is, let someone else do the home cooking for you. Come to KFC and pick up a $20 fill-up. That's 8 pieces of chicken or 12 tenders and all the fixings to feed your family. Order ahead or use contactless delivery at KFC.com. Limited time only at participating locations. Only prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra. Delivery service and additional fees apply.
Hello?
Hello, Mrs. Koontz. It's the back left tire of your RV calling. Wanted to give you a heads up that I'm going to blow out on the highway later today.
Wait, what?
Says here I'm going to burst in the middle of rush hour.
Well, can we reschedule?
Sorry, our policy states that once we're scheduled to burst, we have to. We really pride ourselves on our commitment to blowouts.
RV owners can't schedule when things go wrong on the road. That's why there's Progressive, a leader in RV insurance.
Do you want a text confirmation when I burst?
Think I'll notice.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you along with Zach Williams. This hour being brought to you by friends in part by Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. We talk about the enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall. So besides the obvious and bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment, you can also expect laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. For more information, you can go online at strikeandspare.com. Other locations to serve you in the area includes Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. All locations open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. Coming up at the top of the hour, Alyssa Lang, studio host, reporter with the SEC Network, ESPN, and ESPN Radio, talking college football. Also around 5:35, Hall of Famer, three-time Sports Writer of the Year, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Hour number one in the books, hour number two on the way. As always, we know you have choices each and every day, and we appreciate you making our show and our station a daily destination. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.